You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome along to this week's Liverpool.com podcast. I'm your host, Matt Addison. Andrew Beasley is alongside me this week and we're going to have a little bit of a chat about the Premier League title race. It was pretty much the perfect weekend for Liverpool, really. We'll come to that in just a second. We're going to go through each of the fixtures for each of the three Premier League title contenders as well and just try and analyse and assess really where we're up to at this point in the season. I think it's a position that Liverpool certainly would have took a few months back. They certainly wouldn't have necessarily expected to be in that kind of position, Andrew. But as I mentioned, the weekend was pretty much perfect for Liverpool. They had to get their own job done. They did manage to do that. They could then sit back and watch Manchester City and Arsenal play out a little bit of a stalemate. I haven't seen the entirety of that game myself yet, but it does sort of feel that was the perfect way to set up the last few fixtures for Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you saw kind of the almost the strengths and weaknesses of the three teams on the day as well. You saw, you know, Liverpool go behind early as they've done, you know, too often for our liking this season, but fought back, created a lot of chances, deserved winners by the end. You saw Arsenal, obviously, probably the strongest defensively of the three. They've managed to shut down Manchester City twice this season, which is impressive. And you saw City, you know, sort of largely dominate the game, but they're probably not as incisive as they have been in past years. Still a very good team, obviously, but perhaps not quite hitting the heights that they have in years past. So as well as a good day for Liverpool, I think it was a pretty good summation of the title race and of the teams in it.
Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of a chat about each of the weaknesses and the potential games in which each of the three teams might drop points between now and the end of the season. But I suppose just before we do that, you mentioned the City and Arsenal game there. And I think probably Manchester City, it's fair to say, have dropped off a little bit this season. I think that's maybe the reason why Liverpool and Arsenal are both in the position that they're in. I think before we kind of go into the specifics of it, it's probably fair to say that each of the three have got their flaws. None of them are perfect. And this is probably a bit of a different title race or a very different title race, I would say, compared to when Liverpool and City have gone head-to-head in the past. It feels to me like all three at some point will drop points. Probably psychologically, Liverpool need it to be the other two that drop points before they do. But to me, I can't see any of these three teams going now 9 out of 9 to finish this season.
No, I think you could probably say it's almost like a perfect title race, particularly if you're neutral, because you've got Arsenal very clearly the strongest defensively this season. Don't give away many chances, but obviously they have question marks up front. I think those issues have possibly been papered over a little bit by some of their big wins. They had that run where they beat, I think it was West Ham and Burnley, sort of 5 or 6 nil and stuff like that. But I think in a lot of games, you can watch Arsenal and sort of wonder where the goal is going to come from. You've then got kind of the opposite of that in Liverpool, who are probably the best team offensively. Certainly, you know, they set expected goals record in the game against Newcastle. They became the first team to have 30 shots against Brighton in a Premier League game. Like, you can rely on Liverpool to create chances, but they'll also give up chances. So that's their sort of standing. And then you've got Manchester City in the middle, who are probably the most balanced of the three teams and probably the best of them on paper. But as we said, possibly not quite at the heights they've hit previously. I mean, if you look at them with 64 points after 29 games, they've had more than that in 5 of the last 6 seasons, the exception being 2019-20, when they had 60 at this point and had probably already given up, and who could blame them with how well Liverpool did that season. So they are below par for what has been their sort of norm at this stage. Not by a huge amount. You know, the last 3 seasons they had 3 points, 6 points, 4 points more. They're not miles off their pace, but they're just not yet. They're not quite as convincing as they have been. And I think, as you say, that has sort of opened it up so that we've got a three-team title race, which is obviously incredibly rare.
Yeah, I think it's almost opened it up for Liverpool in the sense of they're in a position that they've not really been in before as well, in that it's Manchester City that are chasing them. And I think the biggest gap, obviously, City in third at the moment, Liverpool in first, that there's only 3 points in it. Obviously, one weekend, Liverpool lose and City win and it can all change. But to me, that feels like the biggest thing. I don't know about you, but I personally at this point still see Manchester City as being more likely to win the title than Arsenal. And therefore, you know, the weekend's draw between those two, I think, was probably the perfect thing. Easily, that if Arsenal had gone there and won, or if City had have won 4-0 and absolutely strolled past them, the momentum can shift quickly. But that draw just sets it up nicely where there's a bit of a gap and neither team will have come out of that game really absolutely firing and thinking that they're, you know, the outright favourites for the title now.
Yeah, and it feels almost like an insignificant margin. As you say, it could go in one round of fixtures. But at the same time, you know, if Manchester City were to win every remaining game, certainly not impossible. You know, Liverpool with 8 wins and a draw, still very difficult. But 8 wins and a draw would then be enough to at least keep ahead of Manchester City. And like you, I think they are the bigger threat than Arsenal. I mean, certainly whether you look at bookmakers, whether you look at the Opta model, I mean, they're all obviously working on, you know, broadly the same data anyway. But they've got it very much now as Liverpool favourites, then Manchester City and Arsenal, you know, much, much less of a chance. I think obviously we will come to Arsenal's fixtures, but they do have the hardest run in. And obviously they've not proven that they can negotiate this kind of thing. It was at this point last season, basically, where they fell away. And while I think they're not going to collapse in quite the same way, they just don't have that history of doing this. Manchester City very clearly do. Liverpool, bit of a mixed bag in that some of the players have obviously been here before. Some of them, it's a new team. You know, anyone who's joined either for this season or for last season obviously hasn't been in this position with Liverpool before because last season didn't go so well. So, but there's a lot of sort of institutional memory at Liverpool, a lot of key players who've been there still, and obviously the manager. So they've got a bit more of that than Arsenal have, and all these things could sort of make a difference come the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned there 8 wins and a draw. I think we're probably both in agreement that that would be enough to get ahead of Arsenal and win Liverpool the league. I mean, even last season, Liverpool were terrible last season, but they still, I think, finished the last 9 with 7 wins and 2 draws. So It's not completely implausible that they could do something similar again. Let's run through the fixture list. We'll start with Liverpool. We'll go on to the other two afterwards. I think it makes sense to start with the Reds. Obviously, Sheffield United come to Anfield on Thursday. Then it's a trip to Old Trafford. The last run of games, Crystal Palace at home, Fulham away, Everton away and West Ham away. I think that's all inside the space of 7 or 8 days. Tottenham at home, Aston Villa away and then Wolves at home, as it always seems to be on the last game of the season. But I think for me, there's probably a couple of games that would stand out in particular as being tricky for Liverpool, more so than it would be for other teams in Manchester United and Everton. Other than that, though, probably Spurs and Aston Villa are the ones that jump out as being particularly tricky.
Yeah, I think so. As you say, you know, Liverpool going to Everton is far harder than basically any other team going to Everton, more or less. And that's true in any season, obviously. But this season, I mean, Everton are fighting for their lives. And, I sort of hate the fact that I think they're 12 games without a win, because if they still haven't won by the time of the Liverpool game, you sort of think they're going to win eventually, you would think. And I think, I guess that probably sort of what I've just said kind of is true in a lot of ways for a lot of the fixtures. Like, if you look at the remaining fixtures, ultimately, Liverpool will be favourites to win all of them, I believe. I see they're already favourites for Manchester United. So you'd imagine they will be favourites for the rest. And yet the fan in you thinks, oh, no, well, that's tricky. They're, you know, Everton's difficult and United's difficult. And Aston Villa were on an incredible run at home for like a year and Tottenham have done well this season. But I guess that's the nature of the title race. You know, all these three teams are probably favourites for all their games, and yet there are potential places where they could stumble. I sort of agree with you as well, though, the sort of point you highlighted, at least, about the three away games in 8 days is really difficult. You can be pretty confident, I think, that Liverpool will win their remaining home games. Tottenham is going to be the tough one. I think I could be wrong. I think Liverpool had the exact same last three fixtures in 21-22, Tottenham at home, Villa away, and then Wolves at home, certainly near the end of the season. And it was a draw with Tottenham, a 1-1 draw that I suppose ultimately cost them as much as any fixture can be said to have done, because it was the one they didn't win closest to the end of the season. So it's a very similar end there. But you would expect Liverpool to probably win their home games. So then it's the away games. And again, Fulham, Everton and West Ham, not the trickiest on paper, theoretically, but to play all three in basically a week is asking a lot. So that could well be the week that sort of makes or breaks this in a lot of ways.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, and of course we don't know the context of some of the other games as well. It might be the case that by the time Liverpool play Tottenham, Tottenham are already outside of the Champions League contention, but already safely in the Europa League. It might be that Aston Villa have already wrapped up the top four by the second to last game of the season. So that will obviously play into all of these things as well. And I think Arsenal's last game is against Everton, as we'll come to. So that could be interesting. Everton might need those points. Arsenal might need those points as well. So there's lots of context really to be brought into it as well. Earlier on, you mentioned that the manager, Jurgen Klopp, and obviously that has a huge positive for Liverpool in terms of the way that he has managed this team in the past. Obviously, some of the players are a little bit less experienced in terms of the title run-ins, but there's obviously the potential impact of he's leaving in the summer, and this will be a highly emotionally charged run-in, I think it's fair to say. I think we started to see that a little bit against Brighton at certain points. Anfield was a little bit nervy, I think it's fair to say, and understandably so. But I suppose that you can argue both ways as well. It could be a positive. It could be that Liverpool build momentum and the emotion is channeled in the right way. It could also go the other way as well. So is that almost the biggest worry that you have with the fixtures, really? I think that's probably what I'm thinking at the moment, that there's no obvious game there. You think Liverpool are really going to struggle, but there might be a half an hour period there almost certainly will be a half an hour period at some point where it's a little bit nervy. They've got to find a goal from somewhere, and it will basically come down to that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the nature of sort of title run-ins as well, particularly Liverpool having this unfortunate habit of conceding first. I mean, you know, if Sheffield United were to take the lead on Thursday night, I don't think anyone would be too concerned, certainly not until the clock really starts ticking down. But if Tottenham come to Anfield and score first, then straight away, you know, whilst they're not as defensively solid as some teams, you know, straight away that would ramp the nerves up, particularly with it being so near to the end of the season. And as you say, so many of these things have their context of where teams are. Like you probably want as many mid-table teams as you can get at this time of the season who don't have very much to play for. And possibly just glancing at the fixture list, we'll come on to City. I think that they possibly have an advantage there in that they've got some teams who don't have a lot to play for, perhaps more so than the other two teams. But I wasn't at Anfield this weekend, but I can imagine how it, you know, possibly got a bit nervous. Probably helped Brighton scored as early as they did. There's still a lot of time. But yeah, if games are tight and Liverpool go behind sort of late on, I think, yeah, could get very, very anxious, particularly, you have to say, that Tottenham game, because the other three home games look fairly winnable, and the away games are tougher, but then obviously the fans don't have so much of an impact, certainly in terms of the Liverpool fans as perhaps the home fans. You know, if Liverpool go behind at Old Trafford like they did the other week in the FA Cup, well, obviously their fans will be up. And I think you could be confident Liverpool will get chances in that game, but it just makes it harder if the home fans are bouncing. So it's not just Liverpool fans, it's everybody's fans are probably going to have a little bit of an impact on this.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't think the referee particularly helped the nerves as well. There was a few strange decisions and a few delayed decisions as well, where people got a little bit frustrated with him, and maybe that kind of boiled over as well. But all of these things could play an impact in this title race. But let's move on then to Arsenal. We'll come to them before Manchester City, because they are second in the table at the moment. So they play Luton at home, I think that's on Wednesday, Brighton away, Aston Villa at home, Wolves away, Chelsea at home, Tottenham away, Bournemouth at home, Manchester United away, and then Everton at home as well for them. So again, there's a few tricky fixtures in there. Obviously, with Arsenal and with Manchester City, there's the impact of the Champions League as well, which, without being disrespectful to Atalanta, I don't think Liverpool will be impacted in quite the same way that they will in terms of Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. I don't think anybody could really argue with that. But I suppose with Arsenal, there are a few games in there you'd think might be particularly tricky, similar to Everton and Liverpool. That Tottenham game feels like one that will be very, very emotionally charged for them. I'm even looking at Brighton. I was very impressed with them at Anfield at the weekend. Going to Brighton, half five on Saturday next weekend. By that point, you know, Liverpool will have played against Sheffield United, maybe could have racked up a couple of goals against them. Manchester City, I think, play in the lunchtime kickoff. That there will be a bit of pressure on Arsenal to go to Brighton. And if Brighton play similarly to how they did at Anfield at home, that could be a potentially tricky one for them as well.
Yeah, of course. And you sort of raise an interesting point there, which I hadn't thought about, is obviously the sort of staggering of the fixtures. There, obviously, all these teams' games are basically going to be on television now, you'd imagine, for the rest of the season. And there's going to be weekends and midweeks where one team plays first, then the other team plays, and that can have an impact as well. I mean, yeah, I think when you look at Arsenal's fixture list, a big thing for me is that their four remaining away games are all against teams who are currently in the top half of the table. And Liverpool have got three aways against top half sides, and City have only got two. And even, you know, if you take aside all the various sort of derby factors of Liverpool playing United and Everton and Arsenal playing Tottenham and to a lesser degree United, you know, that is tough. As you say, they've got to go to Brighton, they've got to go to Tottenham, they've got to go to United, they've got to go to Wolves. And again, Wolves possibly not with a lot to play for, but we know they beat Manchester City at home. They took the lead and held Liverpool at bay into fairly late on. So I wouldn't say that's a gimme of a result by any means. So Arsenal have probably got the easiest home stretch, but then all these three teams generally win all of their home games, or the vast majority of them. I think those four away games for them are probably why they're third favourites, and rightly so, because as good as Arsenal are, it's a big ask to sort of win all of those games.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
In terms of sort of Arsenal's weak point, then we've discussed a couple of things that possibly could go against Liverpool in, you know, a situation that we don't want to happen, but we kind of have to accept that that is, you know, a potential reality. I think with Arsenal, the big question mark is they've not done it before. They didn't do it last season. I suppose Arsenal fans will say, well, they've learned from last season. They've got that experience. It's broadly the same group of players. Where do you sort of stand with them? I think it's hard to make the argument that they will be able to cope with it as well as Manchester City and Liverpool. But then at some point in the past, Manchester City and Liverpool were in that position. And at some point, you have to take that next step. So I suppose it's one that you kind of accept it when you see it. But I think that will be held against them if they don't do it. It will then be 2 years in a row. And I'm sure we'll have this conversation again in 12 months.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big thing in football of people will always doubt you as a player or a team until you've done X, whatever it is you're sort of trying to do. It's that sort of thing, as you say. We obviously talked about the sort of fan issue with Liverpool. I mean, obviously with Arsenal and Arteta, they sort of seem to get whipped up into quite a frenzy for the home games, which can obviously work well if it's going for you, but can obviously count against you if things are going badly. I mean, as I said earlier, most of their home games look relatively straightforward. Chelsea's always an interesting one just because you don't know what Chelsea are going to turn up. I mean, Chelsea, if you look at the underlying performances, have been very strong this season, much stronger than their results. So, you know, they're sort of capable of possibly getting a result at Arsenal. Probably other teams less so. Aston Villa, maybe. I'm not sure how that falls with regards to their Europa Conference League games. I see it's down for the 14th of April, so that might be after a European game. So that probably does Arsenal a favour, though. Of course, they'll have played a European game themselves, another factor that's going to play into this. But, I think doubts will remain about Arsenal because they didn't just sort of slightly miss out. I mean, at this point last season, they were 5 points clear of Manchester City after 29 games, and they finished 5 points behind them. And that's with Manchester City. I think that they lose and draw their last two because they didn't, you know, need the points. So there was a 10-point swing over nine games with City not even trying for a couple of games. So they didn't just fall a little bit short. They sort of completely, you know, collapsed. And, you know, no shame in that. These things are really hard to do to win the league or to maintain this, particularly when you've not done it before. But it is a valid question mark at this point because they did fall away, and that was without European football, don't forget. We know they've got two games against Bayern Munich. Get past them. It's two games against Manchester City or Real Madrid. I mean, obviously, I think Liverpool fans everywhere are hoping that it's a Manchester City-Arsenal semi-final purely because it'll take so much out of both teams. But even if they don't get there, the fact they've got Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, as you said, is so much more intense, so much tougher to negotiate than Atalanta, as much as that's, you know, they're a decent side, but it's obviously not on the same level. So, yeah, I think the question marks over Arsenal are certainly valid. But as you say, you know, this is true of all teams until they do it, or all players until they do it. You know, there's always doubts.
Yeah, I think that the European thing is definitely a big thing that I would look at. I think there's, I mean, you'll probably know better than me in terms of the numbers and the data behind it, but it feels to me like Liverpool are far more likely to find a goal if they need to than Arsenal are. I think maybe there's an unfair level of scrutiny maybe over someone like Kai Havertz or Gabriel Jesus, or even to some extent Bukayo Saka in terms of his numbers, or Gabriel Martinelli. I think there's lots of good attacking players in that team, but I don't necessarily think that is on the same level as Liverpool, for example, or Manchester City as well. Obviously, they didn't score at the weekend and Haaland misses a couple, but I think realistically you'd expect them to be able to find a goal at some point. Okay, they've not got Ilkay Gundogan to pop up with 8 winning goals in his last 8 games or anything like that, but it does feel to me like if Liverpool need a goal, Diogo Jota might come back from injury, just have half an hour off the bench and be able to nick one from somewhere. It feels to me more likely that if it came down to something like that, Liverpool would have a bit of an advantage over Arsenal as well. But I don't know, maybe that's a misconception. Maybe you can tell me otherwise, but that's kind of how it feels to me.
No, I'd be inclined to agree. I mean, I think, you know, for the various sort of strengths and weaknesses of Liverpool's forwards, ultimately they've got 5 forwards in double figures for goals this season. I think they've all got at least 12, if I remember rightly. And that has to count for something. I think as well, it's worth mentioning as well, you sort of briefly touched on injuries there. I mean, I was looking yesterday on Premier Injuries website. Arsenal have got 1 player injured and City have only got 2 and Liverpool have got 8. And they don't even count Ben Doke in that. Maybe not a game changer at this point, but clearly he would be in the squad and he would get minutes probably if he was available. So Manchester City and Arsenal are basically at full capacity, and yet Liverpool in the next 2 weeks or so are likely to get Jota, Jones, Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, Alisson back. I mean, that's an incredible boost. Now, there's two sides to that, because obviously they're not going to be on top form immediately, you wouldn't think, because it takes time to come back from an injury and stuff like that. But it is a boost that Liverpool might get. And I think, as you say, with Arsenal, someone like Kai Havertz, I mean, Gabriel Jesus famously sort of underperforms against expected goals every year. They've got lots of players who can score goals, but who's your really reliable goal scorer when it comes down to it? I mean, we saw with Liverpool on Sunday, Salah had 12 shots, which is a ridiculous total, and a lot of them were poor efforts, but ultimately he scored the winning goal. I mean, that's what Mo Salah does. And you see sort of similar with Nunes, a lot of games, sort of 5, 6, 7, 8 shots. And maybe he misses 5, 6, 7, 8 shots, but he might score one of them. And obviously Jota, you know, hugely reliable if he's coming back as well. So just that volume of goal scorers who've done well this season, it not only gives you, you know, obviously good options to start, but it's options from the bench as well. You know, if Klopp changes it around for Thursday, you'd think Gakpo maybe gets a start, and obviously, you know, perhaps not done so well lately, but then maybe Nunes is on the bench to come off and run against a tired Sheffield United if Liverpool need a goal and stuff like that. So it's that thing of just having those options, and the other teams, as strong as they are in many ways, don't have that same thing. And again, it could prove decisive in a key game.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, we've not got time to go into it too much, but Harvey Elliott, I think, deserves a mention in terms of coming off the bench as well. He's been a massive, massive player for Liverpool, and I think there's probably at least one or two more games where that's the case before the end of this season. But let's move on to Manchester City's fixtures then. Obviously, Aston Villa at home this midweek. Crystal Palace away, as I mentioned before, is the early kickoff on Saturday. I don't think Pep Guardiola is particularly happy with that, but I think Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp have had to contend with it enough that some of the other title contenders maybe should have their opportunity to have to face that as well. Luton at home, Brighton away, Forest away, Wolves at home, Fulham away, West Ham at home, and then there's a Tottenham match result, which is away from home. That hasn't been rearranged yet. I think I'm right in saying that that's because of the FA Cup semi-final, that one's been moved, but I suppose that rearranged game away at Tottenham is arguably the one that you would look at and think Manchester City might drop points in, or the most likely one that they will. they've got a relatively favourable run-in, I would say, Manchester City. But then, of course, they're going to have to bridge that three-point gap to Liverpool at the moment. So it's very, very close. I think it will probably go down to the wire. But looking at those fixtures, is there anyone other than Tottenham that you think might have a little bit of a hope of taking some points off City?
There's not a huge amount in there, is there? I mean, I think going to Brighton is a tough game. It's interesting to see what happens with Nottingham Forest. Obviously, they're struggling at the moment. I mean, whilst I don't think that's a ridiculously tough game, obviously, City did draw there last season, I think, if I remember rightly. And obviously, it looks likely that Forest are going to be fighting for their lives. So that's one of those fixtures, a bit like Liverpool going to Everton without the derby element. But that thing of like, if you're playing a team that's sort of right down there, it's harder than it would be at another time of the season. But I think beyond that, I mean, whilst I wouldn't necessarily expect Manchester City to win all nine remaining games, I don't think it'd be a huge, huge shock if they did, just because it is a fairly sort of favourable run-in. I mean, I think, what have they got? They've got, yeah, two away games against top half sides, Tottenham and Brighton, and then home games against top half sides of Villa, West Ham and Wolves. I mean, Wolves have given them problems in the past and beat them at Molineux, as we said earlier in the season. But if Wolves are safe and the game's in May, you know, obviously Liverpool are hoping probably for an easy game against Wolves as well at home. So it is actually striking. Obviously, a lot of the team, you know, everyone's got to play Villa, everyone's got to play Tottenham, everyone's got to play Wolves as well, actually, as I sort of scroll down. So there's these sort of fairly similar fixtures throughout. But I don't think City would be looking at theirs and thinking, oh, well, this is too daunting. Tottenham looks the obvious one, particularly if it gets moved, if you've got Tottenham midweek and they need 3 points for a Champions League spot. And with City having such a bad record there, I think, you know, that's a tough one. But City will certainly win most of those games, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think the Crystal Palace one, strangely, is one I'm looking at and thinking it's an early kickoff. I think they've lost a couple of times at Crystal Palace in the last 2 or 3 years. Maybe something like that. But then Crystal Palace are not particularly brilliant at the moment and have been fairly sort of boring, I think, in terms of the way that they've played. It's not necessarily the counter-attacking style that maybe could cause City a few problems. So, look, it'd be interesting. But I suppose to sort of wrap things up, the most important thing out of all of these things is that Liverpool are top at the moment. They've got the advantage to take hold of. I can see a comment there that says if Liverpool were to fail from here, it would hurt them more than the other two because they've never been in control at this point before in a title running. It would obviously hurt Liverpool as well, given the situation with Jurgen Klopp and all the rest of it. But I think that's the fundamental point across all of this, isn't it? It's in Liverpool's hands, and it hasn't necessarily been in Liverpool's hands when they've gone head-to-head with City before. Even if there is now Arsenal to contend with as well, the fact that Liverpool are ahead at this point, I think, is absolutely massive.
Yeah, it is. And it is a somewhat unusual situation. I mean, I'm not sure whether I would say it would hurt more than the other two. I think whoever misses out is going to hurt for this. And nobody expected this from Liverpool. I mean, ultimately, City and Arsenal were the top two last season. It's not a surprise that they're in the mix again. I think everyone thought Liverpool would improve, certainly. But, you know, I don't think anybody was sort of anticipating this. As we say, the sort of way the fixtures fall is also going to have an impact. I mean, I think it's good for Liverpool that they've got Sheffield United at home next. You'd have to assume Liverpool are going to win. So at worst, the margin stays the same. And then they've got one of their tougher games, obviously, as we say, with Manchester United. But with City playing Palace and Arsenal at Brighton, I mean, it's not inconceivable that all three challengers could drop points this weekend. But I think it's good. Liverpool's easiest game, at least in theory, is next. Get that one, get the points on the board, you would imagine, and then see where we are. But then all of a sudden, if it's the same place, well, then it's a three-point lead over City with eight to go. And if they can win at Old Trafford, and certainly based on the FA Cup game, they should get the chances to win at Old Trafford, well, then it's 3 points ahead of them with seven games to go. And before you know it, they sort of start ticking off, and It will sort of seem more and more realistic that Liverpool can win it. But I sort of disagree with the comment that it will hurt them more, because I think Liverpool are overachieving and they've reached this point with, I would imagine, more injuries. It certainly feels that way. I mean, they've had sort of 10 men out or thereabouts for a long time now. So for them to even be in the fight is a remarkable achievement. And if they fall short, you know, they fall short, it won't stop it of being a sort of fantastic season. But equally, this is an amazing chance to win the league. And not very often that you'll be ahead of Manchester City this close to the end of the season. So yeah, really, they've got to give everything they have, and I'm sure they will. But I'm not saying that they're definitely going to do it, but I'm confident that they can win the league.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to end on, isn't it? It's a very, very big opportunity for Liverpool. 9 very, very big games. You'd imagine that they will win the majority of them, and it's just going to come down to a couple of fine margins in a couple of those matches. But I'm sure this won't be the last time that we look ahead to the title run-in and try and assess all of these things across the Liverpool.com podcast. We'll be back next week. James Martin will be back on next week as well. He's off this week, so that's why Andrew has nicely stepped in for us. So thank you very much for that, Andrew. Thank you to everyone who's watched along live or listen back to the show later on as well. For this week, though, that will do us. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.